everybody. Welcome to episode 180 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is August 7th, 2012. I am your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and we have a crazy cast this week.
Great.
Not because, I mean, most of them are regulars. They're just crazy.
Yeah.
It's out of control this week already. Mr. Christopher Matthew in Sweet Home, Alabama.
Yes, in sweet the middle of nowhere, Alabama, with
a
couple of tin cans and a piece of yarn for my internet connection. So I apologize to all the listeners for that.
You should apologize for that.
I'm very sorry.
Mike Chin.
Hello.
Speak.
I'm
Hello,
here.
Mike.
I'm present.
You are here.
Yeah.
You got enough sleep? You're rested up?
I'm fine, yeah. I can't remember why I wasn't on last week, but I'm sure it was very important.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
No, I think I was just very tired.
Yeah, exactly. Not important. Also with us this week is not Mr. Richard Primrose.
Nope.
But I'll have more about that story in a second. We do have Daniel Knapman.
Good evening.
Hardly help. Dan? Yeah?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Dan.
Hey,
I hear you on another show. What's the other show that I hear you on, Dan?
Well, that's probably the Gamesman.
No, I was talking about the gay podcast that you do.
Oh, well,
Never mind. Yeah, the Gamesman.
Yeah.
We like the Gamesman. Dan, you know, it was one of those curious things. Richard had told me initially he wasn't going to be on the show, so I had contacted you yesterday saying, hey, Dan, you know, you think you might be able to make the show? And you were a little reluctant. You were like, you know, I had
Absolutely
some other things
not.
Going on.
Yeah.
I really don't want to talk to you guys, but maybe.
And money was passed.
Right, right. So then
hey, it
morning,
wasn't passed to me.
Oh, well.
Mike, don't say anything.
You have to pay me to get Dan on the show. That's a weird
thing. But yeah, so then we you know, kind of go through the evening, and then today I jumped onto Skype, and you had, you know, sent back a message saying, you know, what time are you going to be podcasting? And I said, well, you know, it's going to be later. And as soon as I sent that, Mr. Richard Primrose sends me a message to my phone saying, hey, I've got Wi-Fi in Turkey. I'm going to be on the show.
Primrose is in Turkey.
And yes, he's in Turkey. We'll give out his hotel room in a second. And so at that point, I contacted you back and said, you know, hey, Dan, I know you had said you weren't sure you were going to be able to make it because of your previous engagement, so I was kind of letting you off the hook if you wanted.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know, that might work. That's okay. And then, of course, Rich turns around, and within minutes after me saying that to you, he emails or Twitters me back saying, I just realized I'll be podcasting live from Turkey at 2:30 in the morning over here. I'll see you when I come back.
Yeah.
So,
and also, he's on holiday. Tell him to fucking relax.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And then by some sheer fluke, I get on Skype and message you saying...
Yeah, you jump on Skype and said, you know, it might help me fall asleep.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, we help Rich fall asleep many times on this show.
Everybody who listens as well.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got all the introduction out of the way.
Yeah.
We might as well talk about games.
Yes, let's do this.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so we're talking games, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Dan, being the guest, let's knock out some of the games you've been playing lately.
Hurry
up!
I've been pretty much playing one main game recently. It was in the Steam sale, and Steve Conga, Jess, as lifelike as known to
Who?
Everyone else.
Jeff.
Steve, yeah, Jeff.
Jeff Conga,
Yeah, Jeff from the Gamesman got me Dead Island for the second time, the first time he bought it.
Reverse girl jumping out a window. Yeah, that one.
No, that game has no right to be as fun as it is.
Why?
You get four of you playing. It's so broken. You know, we're having a little kickabout with a beach ball, and it turns out if you kick the beach ball, there's a fairly high chance that will kill you. even if you've got full health.
Really?
The game is so broken.
I've played the game. I don't remember that.
Yeah, on the PC, it happened to Steve and a friend of mine, Lee. That every time they kicked it, they just died. Didn't happen to me. It was kind of weird. I tried to
Dead Island presents Dead Ball.
Yeah, I was trying to get like a little soccer game going, like 2v2. But they went off for it. It cost too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been playing the snot out of that.
Yeah, I think there could be like a Monty Python skit in there with getting people to try and kick the ball and just watching them die.
Yeah.
Go on, kick it. Yeah. Kick it. You won't die this time, I promise.
Yeah,
kick it.
What are the chances you'll die from kicking a beach ball, honestly?
Yeah. And I do apologize for that horrible attempt at an English accent.
That's all right, mate.
Sorry. I was caught up in the moment.
Once. So
Dead Island?
Yeah. That's been good. Something else I've been playing. I got the old Scum VM software for my Android. It's free on the Android marketplace.
And this
enables you to play the old school point and click adventures like Monkey Island, Monkey Island 2, the Discworld games. So I've been playing Monkey Island, Monkey Island 2, and the Discworld games on my phone, which is, to me, mind blowing. It runs better than it ever did on my old Amiga 500 Plus. And it's just, you know, it's on my phone. And there's so many games out there for handheld devices that when it comes down to it, they're a bit crap. And now I can play these classic games on my phone. And it works brilliantly. I'm loving it. I've been going retro for the past month or so. It's been fantastic.
You know, it's... at least from my perspective, point-and-click adventure-type games seem like the perfect kind of games for iPhones and Android phones.
Yeah.
It just seems like a very natural game type.
Yeah, it works fantastically with the input. And aside from those five games I've been playing, a friend of mine lent me his Raspberry Pi computer, and I've been playing around with that. That's been cool. Yeah, I haven't.
Was it as exciting as you hoped?
Yes and no. Yes, that, you know, I've got this credit card sized computer that runs off a USB lead. And
I don't know what this is.
It's basically
really, Mike. Really,
it's a computer you can buy for about £26, including the operating system, and it'll stream 1080p video perfectly. You can play Quake 3 on it. Completely lossless. It's fantastic, and it's designed by some of the people behind the whole kind of. Remember back in the 80s, there was the whole BBC computers in schools trying to get, you know, it's like a resurgence of that, trying to get younger children into programming with this cheap, affordable computer that, you know, pretty much everyone can buy. It's, you can pick one up for about £25-30, and it's using an ARM chip, or ARM chip. If you're running a game on it natively, it's got a similar kind of graphical capability as the old Xbox. It's a pretty cool piece of kit for £25. And, the only problem I've had is that it doesn't work on my old telly upstairs because it puts out a 60 hertz signal, not a 50 hertz signal.
Interesting. You know, I think anybody that is curious that's listening to the show, all you have to do is do a Google search for Raspberry Pi, and it's PI.
Yeah, the number.
Right.
I got time for that.
W8.
But it's not quite as sexy, I think, as it sounds, because when he's saying computer, he really means it's just a small little motherboard.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't have a case. It looks like it belongs inside a case, inside a computer.
It's a credit card sized piece of printed circuit board with bits on it that you plug in your Ethernet and your USB keyboard and mouse and your HDMI input for your screen. It's really simple, but it'll run Linux and it'll run, you know, it works brilliantly for, you know, basic day to day usage. In fact, I'm planning on doing a podcast just using that. Whether or not that'll work, it's another matter. It's worth a try.
This is true. All right, Dan, thank you. Let's move over to Mr. Matthew.
I've been playing a few games. I'll let you guess.
Let me think what games you might have played. Witcher 2?
Yeah, played some of that.
Probably some Skyrim, doing a little compare and contrast.
Yeah, played some of that too.
And then I'm sure the highlight of your weekend had to have been playing probably Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
It's funny you mentioned that. It would have been.
Uh-oh.
Except that something has gone horribly wrong, and I can't play Ghost Recon Future Soldier anymore. I haven't tried the multiplayer since the last time I was on Sunday with the Cybernaut and company, but I went back and tried to resume my single-player campaign, and it starts to load up like the little cool mission video. Like I hear the music saying something cool is about to happen, but the screen is just black.
I had a very similar experience to this. I'm trying to remember how I got it to...
let me tell you what I did.
Kind of unblack. Okay.
Let me tell you what I did. First, I pressed a button to see what would happen, and it brought up a little screen that said, would you like to skip this video? And I said, yes, I would. In which case, it promptly turned to the black screen.
No, I think what you have to do is reload the mission.
I tried that.
From that screen.
That was my second troubleshooting, is I just tried to reload the mission. That didn't work, so I tried to restart the mission. Also didn't work. So I deleted my game save and restarted the game. Luckily, I'd only finished the first mission, so it wasn't that big a deal. It let me play the first little mission, the kind of preview quick time event mission.
Right.
Where you get to die, because that's what we do in games now.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it went right back to the black screen. A little bit annoyed by that.
I can fully understand why that would be annoying.
I just wish I had discovered this sooner so that I could still return it, since it's well beyond my returning period thing.
Have you tried to look for any kind of
no
forum?
No.
I mean,
I wasn't all that impressed with the game to begin with, so I just moved on and played something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Those are the kinds of things you hate to hear.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a video game, right?
Yeah, but that's also something that I know it's common because it happened to me where I got a black, you know, the mission came up and it was completely black. I was just able to restart it and get it to you know, basically write itself. But that seems like that would be something that would be patched pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll try it again later, see what happens. I did play, so after the podcast last week, I got on and played a little bit of Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I hadn't played that in a while. That was good fun. I am enjoying The Witcher. It does look very nice, although I am noticing some texture pop-in issues every now and again.
You'll notice those throughout the entire game.
Yeah, and I try to look past them, but sometimes they're pretty obvious, like an entire wall just suddenly appears.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of like the first Gears of War where you had just like the really bad textures, and then suddenly they would pop in.
Yeah,
or
nice and
Mass Effect was like that, wasn't it? The first.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also having a bit of a struggle, so I'm very early in the game still. There's a bit where I'm supposed to be sneaking around, I think, because I have the option of putting the torches out or turning or lighting the torches, but I seem to be incapable of sneaking.
You know what? You're not alone. I quickly gave up on that part. Fortunately, at least from my experience, that's the only time you're ever asked to really have to sneak like that.
Oh, okay.
And it had to have been one of the worst parts of the game. So once you get past that, and it won't take you terribly long to get through that part.
No, I just finished.
You won't experience it again for the rest of the game.
Cool. I'm liking it though. It's good.
You'll then find out you have to be prepared for battles that you weren't expecting.
Yes.
I have to what?
After the sneaking bit, you'll have to prepare for battles that you weren't expecting.
That's probably my only real gripe about The Witcher 2's kind of combat system and the way they handle the potions and the getting ready is that, you know, you have to meditate to create your potions and then drink your potions, and that's fine, except for you can't do that during combat. Yeah. And so they kind of expect you to constantly be meditating, just preloading up yourself with potions. I guess that's the rationale that The Witcher 2 kind of, you know, that's the route they want you to go. But it goes against every other convention of RPG. You know, typically RPGs, you play, and as you encounter something, you drink potions based on what you're fighting to help you out against what you're fighting. And so this is kind of like the reverse. You find out what you're fighting, and then you find out you're hosed because you can't drink your potions.
I was talking to Steve about it recently, and he said that he dropped down to easy. And although that made the game too easy, it did make it a lot more fun. So you might want to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing it on, I think I've been playing it on easy mode because I just want to play it. It's a lovely thing about playing it on the PC. I don't have to worry about the achievements.
Yeah.
So, anything else, Mr. Matthew?
No. Well, XCOM, but we talked about that last week.
Yes, we
the
did.
XCOM thing.
Best game ever.
Until comes out.
True. Mike, what about you?
Yo!
What have you been playing?
I played episode 2 of The Walking Dead.
And what'd you think?
That's a fine game, isn't it? That's just great.
It is. It's a good game. One thing I noticed about Walking Dead 2, or Episode 2, was it seemed like there was a bit more slowdown, or kind of like transitioning.
There you go. I was talking about this, well, I think it was after the Veteran Game Show, but I was saying to Stu, like, because what it's doing is, it's reading your game save, and then, say, like, previously on Walking Dead, and it has to kind of remember all your little choices or your little, you know, which character died, which character did this, which character did that. So when it's not smooth, it's like this last time on The Walking Dead, oh my god, we gotta go back, and then it cuts to the next scene, but there's a bit of a delay there, and it does that in the next time on Walking Dead as well, and I just find that a little bit clunky and just disappointing, but very small thing to complain about, because otherwise it is a fine game.
Yeah, I will say I'm not done with it yet, episode 2, but...
Everyone does.
Yeah, well, what I continue to love about this series is just, it's not about the zombies as it's much about...
They're just in the
figuring
way.
Figuring out.
The zombies are just like kind of there, and they're in the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, the realities are, the humans are far more dangerous than the zombies are.
Yeah.
And you have to try and figure out who you can trust, who you can't trust, and it's not always obvious. And at least at the point I'm at, I'm pretty sure the developers are trying to get me to think one way with regards to certain characters and their true intentions. But I'm sure they're going to be able to flip the switch back, and everything I was kind of already thinking is going to be completely wrong. It's just, there's some nice little twists to this game, and I really, really enjoy it.
I think where you're at now is,
I just approached a farm. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah,
so that would
give
you an idea.
I know where you are, and yeah, it's interesting because really, I mean, the zombies take a step back, to be honest, in episode 2. I mean, they're around and they're just kind of like an inconvenience, to be honest.
Right.
You know, something that's just kind of out there and now and again disturbs you. It's just about people's capability to cope with extreme circumstances, and it's more of like what this pocket of people are doing compared to this pocket, where their morals are compared to our morals, and how far they would go to us. And
right. One thing I did find kind of funny, and I actually was listening to a separate, different conversation, they brought this up, and that is why, you know, clearly this is taking part in modern day, just like the TV series. And all of these zombie movies and games and stuff, they somehow suddenly don't have or remember that they can be using, like, cell phones.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, they talk about, you know, you know, you constantly see how, one, everybody nowadays has a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
So why don't these people utilize cell phones to communicate back and forth? I mean, if
well, it's
you
all
wanted to go back
off,
to the
like,
base camp.
There's no one.
Why would it be cut off?
There's no one working in the power station. Yeah, right. There's no electricity being fed.
No, there is electricity.
There is electricity.
Yes.
No, not.
There's not one man in those stations. It takes people power as well as to get a network running. It takes.
That's why walkie-talkies still work, because they run on batteries and they use their own radio.
You just assume that, like,
without any towers.
I'm trying to think back to, especially like the TV series, and I swore that every time they go into buildings, there's usually electricity. Maybe I'm wrong.
There was electricity
in
the
CDC, one of those odd things,
because they had their own generators. But all the homes and stuff they go to, there's no electricity. The TVs aren't playing static. There's nothing.
I will concede I very well could be wrong.
I just assume that, like, okay, I just think, well, who's my phone network with? T-Mobile. And the offices at T-Mobile just got, like, completely bombarded with zombies. Because, you know, I remember when... Remember, we're going to get deep here, but remember the London bombings, the 7/7 bombings?
Right.
Happened right next to the T-Mobile building in London, right? Mm. And the whole... Like, when that happened, like, everybody evacuated, the whole network went down... You know,
and everybody, like, bombarded it with phone calls and it couldn't handle it.
So, well, you're not going to get Homer Simpson turning up to the power plant when there's been a zombie apocalypse.
If there's donuts, you will.
So I just assume that, like, the building that, like, you know, of the network has been, like, attacked by zombies and there's no one there anymore, so it doesn't connect calls, it's not working right, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, all right. So, I'll concede, yeah. But we still like the game. It's good.
Yeah.
The thing that worries me about the game is what's going to happen a couple of episodes down the line when there's all those extra decisions that have got to be calculated.
Well, my guess is they're going to start probably crafting the story.
Yeah.
And eliminating some of those decisions, so you're not going to have this long string that the game is constantly having to try and retrieve.
I expect they're going to tie into maybe three different storylines.
Right.
That would make sense.
I mean, I was talking to Stu about it from the Veteran Games. Like, okay, you guys should check it out. It's great. So, and they was, he was talking about, like, what happened. He made a very different choice to me.
Right, example, right.
And what happened really wasn't that different, to be honest. Like, it's not that different.
Yeah, kind of like Mass Effect 3 endings. They're not that
you think, right. You think what you're doing is making a big difference.
But in the long run, it's all leading you to the same end point.
Right, you're still going along this set story path. It's just some of your interactions along that way will be influenced and have, you know, other characters are going to react to you differently, but you're still going to wind up at the same place. Wind up at the farm, regardless of any decisions you make along the way.
I would
love to see it that if you took certain decisions, that would actually lead you to not being able to complete the game because you'd made bad decisions. I think that would be a great way to go. I don't imagine them doing it because people moan about, I did manage to complete it with my guy. It was really cool.
I think the way they have to tackle that, because I totally agree. I love the idea. The problem is the mentality set of people is... You know, when you present them with a right way and a wrong way to answer a question, that's when they start, you know, resetting their game, and they go back and they constantly are trying to do the quote unquote right way or the way to complete the game.
Yeah.
But if you just offer up, there's multiple different endings, and the different endings can happen at any point in time.
Yeah. Then one of them
and maybe tie. Right, and maybe a tie achievements to it. But I mean, you know, so you know when you finish it, it's not. Mission failed, or you died. It's just the game plays out and rolls credits and gives it, you know, kind of a proper ending. I think if you did that with all those different avenues, that's the right way to handle it.
Yeah. I do like the specter of your character dying if you make the wrong choices. I think that could be quite a good idea to motivate people to, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Hopefully they're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, give them some kind of sense of danger whilst making those decisions.
They do have some pressure on them there.
Yeah, you've got the time limit.
No, they have pressure in the next episode, I think.
Oh, yeah, yes.
They do have, like, a bar that they've set themselves. I really like episode 2. I think it's great. So I'll leave it there. And I'll, yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm gonna throw one more thing in. This is just because Dan reminded me of it when he said it. The time pressure. I love the way they do the choices of answers, or you know, kind of how you approach conversations in this game, especially the important ones where they're timed.
Yeah.
It's probably a little too quick for my liking. I wouldn't mind just a couple more seconds. Because sometimes I feel like I'm just
break,
getting...
You can't press pull.
No, true.
Well, you can press pull. But
that's what I like. I like that I feel like these decisions aren't something that I can just mull over for a half hour.
You have to make
I need
that
to
decision
make,
now.
Yeah,
and,
make that decision, yeah. And it will have an impact. And that's the one thing I wish Mass Effect 3, or just the Mass Effect series in general, had done with their questions, is give some kind of time limit to it. Force the players to... think about it, but think about it quickly, and so you know you might get that rash decision where you're like, oh, I don't know if I wanted to say that or not.
Well, perhaps that's something we look forward to in the next BioWare space opera.
Yeah, quite possibly. All right, Mike, I know you played a bunch of other crap.
Yep. Half-Life 2.
That's not crap.
I know. Way through that. My fourth playthrough of this.
Time
format? To move on.
Xbox 360, the orange box.
Yeah, that was a good deal.
Whatever, PC. It's a ball. So, yeah, I'm pretty much near the end now. Spoilers for a fucking 13-year-old game, or isn't that? It's about 8 or 7 years old, I don't know. I'm kind of by the big tower at the end of City 17, so...
Oh, right, so not even episode 1.
No, I played them all before.
Yeah, but where you're at on this plate.
Yeah, I just episode 2, like the actual episode. Half-Life 2. Yeah, that. At the end, yeah. I've just done the big battle today, actually, in City 17, against all the Striders and stuff. So, I'm at the bit where you go in the tower and you get the upgrade on the gravity gun and
The horrible 3D platforming bit.
Yeah, yes. There is a bit of that, but you know,
it's a pain. Bad. Any platforming from that perspective, because you can't see your feet.
Yeah. First person platforming is always.
I'm not even sure when you see your feet in those kind of situations, it helps all that much more.
No, it doesn't at all, really. But it would be nice to be able to look down and see your feet.
This is true. It's comforting, if nothing else.
So I played that. Play Minecraft a bit more.
Right. The crack continues.
I have had a bit of a break from it because I've been playing some games. Because I just like, oh man, I haven't played anything, and I need to play something. So
wean yourself off. Wean yourself off.
I guess that's Minecraft on the 360 again.
Yes. There's a pattern emerging.
There was a game that I forgot to mention earlier. I've been playing a bit of Minecraft myself. A friend of mine's got a server with the tech kit on the PC, and the stuff you can do in that is fantastic. We've got a computer going. We can play Snake on it in Minecraft. It's genius.
Brilliant. It's a brilliant game.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love it. The new world that G4TE have got going, but I haven't really got my teeth into it as much.
Yeah, I heard a couple of months ago or so you guys had a bit of a problem with the server.
Yeah, it was just going down all the time, so they started up a new one. I've made...
Getting in and destroying everyone's power.
No, it's not that. It was crashing. I mean, that happens, but like it was more to do with.
I'd like to say it was me, but my Xbox Live membership's lapsed for quite some time, and I think I owe them money now because they've given me Microsoft.
We'll give them your address. In the outtakes.
Yeah, we don't post that. So Minecraft is great still. What else?
How great or not great is Sniper
Sniper Elite V2? Yeah, so I've been playing Sniper Elite V2, which is a World War II third-person sniper game. It's pretty fun, I will admit. It is a bit of fun. Not the best game in the world. You wouldn't lose any sleep, for example, if you never played it. But, you know, it's alright. The thing that sells it is the massive, like, slow-motion... sniper shot, bullet time, sniper shot thing that happens. You take a shot and it fires the bullet, it goes and all that nonsense. X-ray. You can see like them smashing the skull in and all that. That's fun. You know, that's all good. And it's co-op as well, which is nice. I always like playing. I mean, so you could at least.
You do like to play co-op.
I do, yeah. I do like co-op games. So, yeah, I was just playing that co-op with my mate, and he'd already played it a little bit, so he was just saying, oh, this is a bit narrow, and we've got to sneak up here. And it's cheap. It's a budget game, you can tell. But they've done all right. I think they've done a decent job. I think they've nothing to be ashamed of. It's an all right game. Yeah, it's okay. It's not too bad. Like,
it's stunning. Like that's the recommendation on the back of the box.
Yeah,
it's all right.
It's not too bad. It's not all bad. I mean, like, it's a bargain bin game. You know, it'll go down in price right. In a couple of months. If you're curious, pick it up then. You'll probably get it for like, you know, tenner or something, 15 quid maybe. And you wouldn't be wasting your money for that. It's not a bad purchase for that.
Okay.
I'm not sure what there is a multiplayer. I'm not sure what that's like at all. Because who cares, really? You know, it's just right. The single player missions are good though. They're, you know, they're okay. Interesting enough. Enemy AI is a bit stupid, but what can
I
you
believe
say?
You.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
I think you'd enjoy it, Greg.
I might. Probably never get it, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing the multiplayer is just an arseload of camping.
I'd assume so. It's the one opportunity where you get
damn snipers. Snipers.
Yeah. You can't actually complain. Oh, sniping. What are you sniping for?
You never know. The multiplayer could be the best multiplayer ever.
Yeah, well, Duke was saying that the Spec Ops, the line multiplayer was good, and I played that, and that was short. So, a little bit unsure about multiplayers. I mean, who plays multiplayers anyway? Like, unless it's the big ones. Not many.
Right, right.
Definitely.
Well, Mike, I do know one more game you played this weekend. Maybe it was just for a very short period of time, but you did play some Ghost Recon Future Soldier with us.
Yeah, I had one game.
On Sunday. Yeah, one game, and you said, these guys suck, I'm out of here.
No, I think I had to pick up Tara or something. I had to go.
Yeah.
So I had to swiftly move.
Yeah. But, I guess we can transition over to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, Ghost Recon Future Soldier. You know, having fun on the multiplayer side of it, did the Sunday Gate community. We just had a couple people show up. We got Mike to jump on with us as well for at least one mission. And, you know, I just really enjoy the multiplayer side of Ghost Recon. I don't know why. It sucks me in every time. Also, finished up Max Payne 3 over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What'd you think?
You know what? This is a very underrated game, I think. And I know it got a lot of praise, but I don't think it was talked about long enough. I think this game was a lot better than it just felt like this game just had such short legs in the media's eye, and I really enjoyed the single player. I mean,
yeah.
I can honestly say I was so stuck at that one point, I dropped my difficulty level down just to get past that boss.
The last
and,
boss?
Not the last boss, the rooftop boss. For some stupid reason, that rooftop boss not get past him. And yeah, I was just like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I just about did it, but yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. I played that little, where the checkpoint goes back to the bit where in the corner.
Right.
Yeah, I played that very... very often. Well, not very often, but I played it a lot. Just to keep... Because that boss was killing me. Killing me.
Yep. I know the feeling. But, I can safely recommend Max Payne 3 to anybody out
Great.
There looking for a good story.
I mean, I'm a Rockstar fanboy, Greg. My biggest criticism, really, it is cutscene heavy. Very cutscene heavy.
Yeah. It's cutscene heavy, but
Right.
For some reason, I enjoyed the story... to the point that I didn't mind the cutscenes.
Mm.
Okay. They weren't to me too long. They were borderline too long.
Yeah.
But it always felt like just when I was kind of like, okay, let's get on with it, they would, you know, cut into gameplay.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you're right. He's not a good security guard.
He's a shit security guard. Fuck man. You're saying, oh no, he's just having bad luck. Later on in the game, he is really bad.
He's
at his job.
Really bad luck.
Yeah.
So besides that, we already talked about Walking Dead 2, which I played. watched the Mars Curiosity landing. I think we were talking about that
that's
a little
great.
Bit earlier.
I'm so proud of that. I'm so happy that it landed.
It was pretty amazing because, you know, I was kind of like, okay, they're talking about the 7 minutes of terror and, you know, they're talking about the landing and how crazy can it really be? And then just watching that control room, you know, live as because I jumped on and watched it on the 360 and they had it, you know, live camera shot through NASA TV and just watching these guys, the intensity of that room and every little milestone they hit, they just would start cheering and clapping and you could just tell this was – like life work for these guys.
Yeah,
that was finally
doing for like
yes.
God knows.
The thing that really got it for me was the fact that once they sent the land command to the rover, everything else was completely hands free. It was all automated systems that did the whole sky crane thing. Everything was automated, and that's just it's amazing, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It does beg the question, why the hell can't I get a 3G phone signal 5 miles down the road where they can do that? But,
well, you know.
it's a brilliant achievement, and hopefully it'll get a lot more people interested in the stuff that NASA and other countries other than the States are doing with space exploration. It's, you know, it's fantastic. It turns out I can't say exploration. But never mind.
That's okay. That was you know, truly, I felt like I was watching history, and that was exciting.
Yeah.
And also exciting that, you know, it was being streamed live to the console. I was quite pleased with the actual resolution quality of the video stream, and it just went off without a hitch. So,
well done, NASA.
Stuff like that. Yeah, more stuff like that, please.
Yeah, I think for our generation, it's the moon landing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, maybe not quite as monumental, but
hell of a lot further away.
They are trying to put man on Mars, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what this is all about, pretty much. Like, the way they landed that is, like, kind of testing for putting man on Mars, which is the most pointless thing ever. Waste the money.
It would also be easier because you'll have people on board that control the landing.
Mike, you say that now, but once they discover the Martians, because you know they're there, they've just been hiding.
Yeah, they're around.
The alien from Alien will be there.
Great.
There'll be a lot of Prometheus plot holes in there as well.
Have you seen that picture with the
Yeah,
the first
we're not even going
the
there.
Oh, shit.
Not even going there. All right, so additionally, I played more Wrecketeer. This game is fun.
You like it?
It is standing up Angry Birds, but you know what? It's fun.
What's wrong with that?
So, yeah, I can honestly say a couple castles, just wrecking them, and then, you know, jump off and do something else. And it is a Kinect game that works and is fun and works well, and it isn't requiring you to be all crazy around the living room
is
and
there an achievement
breaking a sweat.
That's called Castle Crasher.
Quite possibly. I'm not 100% positive.
Funny if they were.
I have not looked.
That's another game I've been playing this week, by the way.
Yeah, it seems kind of like it would be part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not? And I also gave a test run for Deadlight. That's the Summer of Arcade game that came out last week. It's the 2.5D side-scrolling zombie apocalypse game.
Yeah, I played that.
Yeah. I really wanted to like this game a lot. Mm. Aesthetically, it's beautiful. I mean, they really create this great environment. Graphically, it looks fantastic. I think they set the mood pretty well.
Yeah.
Music was decent enough. But I just, for whatever reason, it just didn't grab me. And I don't know if it's because it didn't feel like there was enough puzzle solving going on with this to be considered like a 2D platforming puzzle game. Because you really don't ever have puzzles to solve. You just have, you know, a couple platforms to move around to create a new ladder for you once in a while, and that's the extent of it. And you know, so I kind of want it to be more puzzle heavy if that's the direction they were going to go, or be more kind of Metroidvania, you know, like Shadow Complex was.
Yeah, that's what
and
I want.
Have me fighting the zombies, and that is kind of just missing from the game, at least to the point I've played so far. Now, granted, I'm only in the tutorial, you know, free trial section.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting that sense that I'm going to be doing a lot of fighting and kicking zombie ass. I'm pretty much going to be running for my life all the time.
They should let you know that, like, because the biggest problem with the game is that you try and fight all the zombies, and I got on with it better when I just ran past them all.
Right.
And they should be clear. They should be like, you know, don't bother trying to, you know, fight every zombie. Just run.
Yeah. I think at $15, this game is just a miss.
Stretch.
I think. Yeah. If they'd come out at $10 with this game, I probably would have bought it. I think I could justify a $10 purchase. And again, I know it's only $5, but. You know, I think these are kind of where you have to start drawing some lines with the arcade titles. Otherwise, you know, Microsofts and the Sonys are just going to think that, oh, well, $15 is the new norm. And it shouldn't be. I think $15 should still be reserved for exceptional games, you know, really high-quality, big-budget arcade titles. And 10 should be the normal price point, and 5 should be for your budget titles. And then you have your Minecraft, which, you know, $20, whatever.
Yeah.
But
I just think the Summer of Arcade this year is a bit shit so far.
It has been so far. I mean, honestly, Wreck-It-Tier has been the highlight of Summer of Arcade. And, you know, unfortunately for someone like yourself, Mike, you can't experience that.
No, I mean, not that I really feel like I'm missing out. If I had a Kinect, I probably would try it.
Right. That's what I'm getting, though, is that it is probably one of the better games out of the Summer of Arcade, and it's for a, you know, very niche group of Xbox Live users.
Yeah.
See, so. I've got a Kinect, and still Wreck-It-Tier just doesn't look like it's going to flip my boat.
Have you tried it, though?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well,
mainly
then you can't
because
talk.
I'm not allowed to download anything on my 360 anymore because I've not paid Microsoft my money for gold.
Deary me.
Oh, yeah.
I could just make a new account, I suppose.
Yeah, you know.
yeah, I'd be hardly down to 0.4.
Hardly 0.4, I like it. But yeah, so Deadlight to me was just kind of a miss. I think when it goes on sale, I might revisit it.
It's a sale game, isn't it? A lot of people say that. It's like, yeah, it's a sale game. I'll get it on sale. Speaks volumes, but if they drop the price, people will probably buy it.
Agreed.
800 Microsoft points, this would probably be a lot more successful than it is. It's going to be.
Steal. All right. Enough of that. Let's jump into new releases.
Sweet.
Okay, so we're talking new releases this week, and sure enough, nothing on the Wii.
Aww.
Nothing on the 3DS either. This really is the doldrums of the summer for video games. PS3 does have a few games coming out. We've got Persona 4 Arena coming to the retail shelves.
Wow.
Then you've got Hyper Dimension Neptunia MK2.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's coming out to the PSN. Also, The King of Fighters 13 coming out, as well as Sound Shapes, all being released out to the wild this week. On the mini side, you've got Farm Frenzy 3.
Farming Frenzy?
DLC front side, you've got for Payday the Heist, the Wolf Pack. It's going for $10, so I'm guessing that's a bunch of
Payday the Heist is our bank heist.
Yes, it is. And we'll have a little more on that in a second. PS Vita, nothing new retail-wise, but of course you can always download Sound Shapes off the old PSN. And of course they get the minis as well, so Farm Frenzy 3. Moving over to the Xbox 360... got Persona 4 hitting the retail shelves. Hybrid is the Xbox Live Arcade game this week. That is the flying cover-based shooter, kind of Gears of War style, but you don't actually run anywhere. You fly from point to point, cover to cover.
Huh. Could this be the decent game of the summer?
You know, I liked Hybrid enough. I was in the beta.
How was it?
It was pretty good, but...
No.
I don't own it. I'm already reluctant with shooters on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
This seemed to not get supported. And this just didn't seem like it had the hooks. But, you know, I'll download it again, see what kind of changes they made, for sure. On the DLC front this week, you've got Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Collection Number 3 coming out, the Chaos Pack. And on the PC, let's see if there's anything worth those PC lovers. We've got a couple of them in here. Babel Rising,
he's
I know you guys.
He's a PC lover.
Good for that. Hero Academy, Cannon Fodder.
But Hero Academy is
unmechanical.
Doing pretty well, that Hero Academy.
Apparently, Payday the Heist also came out on PC, so you can also download that off of Steam, I guess. So, the Heist Wolfpack there, Dan, if you want something to do.
That happened to be an original game.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Alright, let's talk real quick some deals. So, on PlayStation, you've got some PSN stuff going on that looks kind of tasty. PSN Plus members this week get episodes 1 and 2 of The Walking Dead for free.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that is a great move.
Good deal.
Yeah, and then, of course, you've got some discounts on Papa Yo and Sound Shapes. So PSN Plus delivering the goods. Moving over to...
You tempted Greg with the old PlayStation Plus?
I have been. Yeah. I have been.
I have
been. I kind of go back and forth with it. You know, the only thing that kind of leans me away from it is like, okay, well, they're not permanent games, so as soon as I stop subscribing to PSN Plus, I won't have them. But then again, it's only $50 a year, and why not just throw $50? It's, you know, you're getting free games all the time.
It's like paying current love film with like Netflix or something.
Buy a game, yeah. So I foresee down the road here, I'm probably going to pick up
I might do it.
Yeah, they really are making a...
The stuff that's going on with PSN is actually making me consider buying a PS3.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
It's hard not. You know, hopefully you'll get a reduced price announcement at Gamescom, right?
Well, if that South American 16 gig console PS3 comes out over here, rumored that it's going to be about £99. If I can get that and then slap in... I've got loads of old laptop hard drives kicking about. If I can fit one of those in there to upgrade the storage on it, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
I would buy that tomorrow if that was on sale tomorrow. And then the extra whatever it is for PSN, just for the free games. It's fantastic deal.
Yeah, they really have, I think, caught a little bit of fire with PSN Plus. They finally figured out something to do.
I'd be shocked if Microsoft take this line down, to be honest. They're going to do something. I've got a feeling that probably for the next console, but they'll do something to kind of like say, hey, PlayStation, stop being smart because you're not very good at doing that.
they're going to have to allow
choices like the Vita.
They're going to have to allow online play for free if Sony follows their model.
That or just, I think just offer more for what you get for gold, you know.
Right.
Like,
I think they have to start
better deals, free games.
Exactly
what PlayStation Plus is doing. They need to compete with that now.
They can afford to do it.
PlayStation have set a new bar, so...
Yeah. See, now, and I think the mistake that Sony has, which they're pigeonholed into, as we're talking about this, is, you know, they have gone on record saying they're never going to charge for online multiplayer for the PS3, so they're kind of stuck there with that. I think that one of the, you know, if PSN Plus allow, you know, was the gateway to online multiplayer, I think you'd probably have an even higher subscription rate for PSN Plus because people would feel that that's, you know, that additional push of, no, I need to get this to be able to play online. And likewise with the Xbox 360, you know, Microsoft now is feeling the heat of, okay, I need gold to play online, but look at all the free stuff the PSN members are getting. You know, as long as they keep up their membership, I'm not getting that same kind of deal over here. So, I truly think you're going to kind of see a melding of the two between both companies.
I wouldn't be surprised if the only way in the near future to play games online for free would be via a PC.
Could be.
I think it's going to be... I wouldn't expect that, but I think it's more a subscription-based thing, you know, like Netflix. You know, you pay so-and-so a month, and yeah, right. you get access to all these games. As soon as you stop paying that money, you don't get them. Netflix has been doing it, Love Film does it. some kind of system console that works. Yeah, so, and like a console. Like, I mean, on Live, Allmouse got it right, I think. But if they, yeah, I think they're a bit too soon with that. I think it's gonna be, you've got to have a, the next console is gonna be a hybrid of them. You know, it's gonna be a hybrid of buying the discs in the store like we used to and downloading the game.
Yeah, for people that don't have broadband connection or have limits on their the amount they can download, they've got to be able to get it on disc. And I'm stuck with 60 gig a month, and that is not enough for me. Even with my downloading stuff for free from midnight to 8 in the morning, 60 gig a month is too little. My ISP won't give me an unlimited account, which is really annoying.
I would agree. That is annoying. But hey, let's continue on. Let's finish up, actually, I should say. Correct. New releases on Xbox Live Arcade. Mr. Matthew, if you had waited, you would have been able to get Kingdoms of Amalur stuff on sale. Everything knocked off half price this week. You've got Teeth of the Narrows, The Legend of Dead Kell, and, of course, the Weapons and Armor bundle that I know you were waiting for. That all is half off this week. So.
I don't think I bought the Teeth of the Narrows yet, so people didn't grab that on sale.
There you go. 400 points this week.
Yes!
And that is it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so we are going to speed along right into the news quiz. We're going to do this as quickly as possible because we've been kind of chatty.
Yeah.
It always happens when somebody says, it'll be a short show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry
and
about
it wasn't,
that.
And it wasn't me this time. I'm just saying. All right, so Mr. Matthew, you are going to be up first.
All right.
How much will EA's season sports ticket this year cost? It's going to be A, $15, B, $25, or C, $35? EA sports season ticket.
EA season sports ticket, 15, 25, or 35?
Correct.
I'm going to go 25.
It's a solid guess. Yes, $25, you will get the season ticket this year, and it gives you all those perks I know you've been dying for, Chris. Madden 13 players get the Legendary Pack and 24 Pro Madden Packs.
Just what I want.
You know, both Tiger Woods 14 and NCAA 14 are putting their normally paid DLC into the season ticket program, so you're getting all kinds of little perks.
Since
plus,
that's $100.
Plus, Chris.
Stuff.
Plus, you will get 3-day early access to digital versions of next year's sports titles.
I'm excited about that because the last time I bought a Madden game was 08.
All right, moving on to the next question. Dan, what game took the top spot in the UK weekly software sales this week? Was it A, London 2012, the official video game of the Olympic Games? Try saying that three times fast. B, Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes? Or C, Mario and Sonic, London 2012 Olympic Games? I'll give you a hint. All three of those games were in the top three.
Oh, brilliant. The official London 2012 game. Was that the first one? Was that A?
Yeah. That is A.
Yeah, I'll go for
it. You have to completely say the title.
What was the title?
No. No, but that is correct. Yes, the Olympics dominating the top three. Gotta love that. All right, so at number one we had London 2012, the official video game of the Olympic Games. Two, Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes. Three, Mario Sonic, London 2012 Olympic Games. Number four, Batman Arkham City. I'm kind of seeing a little bit of a trend here. Things that are current on TV and in the movie theaters, current and on video game lists.
And I'm kind of thinking Arkham City is probably the best out of the four.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Skyrim comes in at number five. Assassin's Creed Revelations, number six. The Amazing Spider-Man, number seven. Battlefield 3 takes number 8. Ghost Recon Future Soldier, glitches aside, comes in at number 9. And rounding it out, the shooter trifecta, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, takes in the 10 spot.
Can you believe FIFA 12 is not in the top 10? That's pretty amazing.
It is. That is amazing. I think it's the first time in weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to hand it to Call of Duty, though. I mean, that's nearly a year old, and it's still in the top 10.
No, agreed. Agreed. Call of Duty,
there's a lot of idiots still buying it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Sorry,
I'm not going to bash anybody that buys it. That's okay.
No, you know, you're entitled to your opinion.
You forget the most important game, though, Greg. The most important game, Sniper Elite V2, hits the 33 spot on the chart. That's one above Mass Effect 3. So suck it, Mass Effect.
All right,
sorry, two above. Saints Row the third as well.
That's okay. Mike, we are going to we're going to go to you on this question. Id Software, John Carmack.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, we love John.
I know that guy.
They made a little announcement. They said that Doom 4 is going to be compatible with what peripheral device? Is it A, Sony's Move, B, Xbox Smart Glass, or C, the Oculus Virtual Reality Headset?
I know this.
Stall tactics, Google.
Yeah, no, I was having a drink. I was having a drink.
I can hear keyboard presses, man.
Alex, I'm still looking at this top 40 chart. Grand Theft Auto Episode Liberty City 22. Can you believe that? Right. Smart Glass. I thought that you were going to say the Wii U. I thought that was going to be the answer, but no. So, Smart Glass.
No, Mike, that is not correct. Dan, I'll let you jump in. Do you know the answer on this one, Dan?
It's the Oculus.
Yes, the Oculus Virtual Reality Headset, which was also a Kickstarter program. Of course, everybody's doing Kickstarter these days. Doom 4 will be compatible with the Oculus Rift Virtual Reality Headset. And, I don't know what more to say other than Kickstarter, again, funding something that apparently... it's going to be popular.
If that goes off, it's going to be a huge resurgence for PC gaming.
Yeah. Let's see. Oculus, they raised, over $1.26 million, and they were only asking for $250,000. Yeah. Now, granted, that's no Oya, but... That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you they know, raised that almost instantly.
Yeah, but see, this...
Oculus or whatever it is. What is it?
It's basically just a VR headset that will make you look like an absolute douche in the room when your girlfriend's looking at you playing games.
Oh, so it just makes PC gamers look normal.
Oh,
wow.
Send your hate mail to Mike Chin. All right. Chris, I'm going to come back to you with a little Activision quiz question.
Yeah, you know I love Activision.
I know you do. I know you
can bet how great they are.
Yes, and you love talking about every time they show up in a courtroom. So Activision, again, finding itself back in a courtroom soon, Chris. They're going to battle with no doubt over the use of their banned likeness in Band Heroes.
Not to speak. Yeah. Don't speak.
Probably not, yeah. But, this all came about a few years back, but it's finally going to the courtrooms, Chris. What month is it, or when is it going to be happening? Is it September 15th, October 15th, or November 15th?
Since it's got some weird freakiness, we're going to put it in the Halloween month and go with October.
That's a good guess indeed. Yes, October 15th, we will finally get to hear all the dirty laundry on the No Doubt.
People are really worried about that.
I know. It is on everybody's mind.
It's a concern. It's a concern.
It is.
You know what's going to come of this is more sales of Band Hero games.
Probably.
Activision's loving this.
All right, Dan. Square Enix has announced, maybe you could say pledged, long-term support for Dragon Quest X. How long are they committing publicly to supporting the game? Is it 4 years, 7 years, or 10 years?
That was option D.
10 years.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Good job, Dan, by the way. Square Enix plans to release version up patches every 10 weeks, and more significantly, the developer plans calls for additional download content to be created for 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, this is a game also, by the way, on the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there is a Wii U version plan, so maybe this makes sense, but 10 years of support, that's a lot of DLC, if you ask me.
Although, just, you know, just a lot of patches to make everything else work.
Or not a lot of DLC. They could do, like, one at 5 years and one at 10 years.
They could just do one at 10 years.
I'm just trying to think, what game have I played that has been 10 years? Like, the only one I think was Halo Anniversary. Like, I'm playing that, and that was 10 years later, but it's not the same game, technically. Like, 10 years is such a long time.
How old is Warcraft now?
More Warcraft was 2005, wasn't it? Or something? 2006?
Somewhere around there.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It's not really close yet.
Wow. Well, speaking about games being announced and new studios, because that's exactly what we were just talking about, Mike, I swear.
Yep.
Mike, Amazon has announced its first video game from their new Amazon Game Studio.
Shut up.
What platform is it going to launch on? Is it going to be A, Facebook, B, Xbox Live, or PSN, or C, Android and iOS?
Oh, I don't know. I'll say
or D, the Kindle Fire.
Android and iOS.
Yeah, you would be wrong. It is Facebook. Yeah, Facebook game. Yeah, Amazon Game Studios that launched it. It's called Living Classics. And you can play it right now on Facebook if you wanted, Mike. It's out there in the public. You can tell this was a slow news week if I'm scratching away for Facebook games. But, yeah, I did find it interesting that Amazon has gotten into, you know, and actually publishing and creating games.
Wow. They do all right. Yeah. They do all right over there.
Amazon, indeed, does have kind of a good gig going.
What's next? eBay making... something.
They're going to do
money from people selling stuff.
Yes. Well, for that, we can say the news quiz is over. Everybody is a winner just because I'm feeling generous. So give yourself a pat on the back.
Yay.
That's all you're getting. All right. It's time for the show break.
Greg.
What, Mike?
I'm surprised
you
didn't talk about the lawsuit between Zynga and EA.
Yeah, why didn't you talk about that? Awesome. That's like been the main news.
Why didn't I talk about it? I did not even see it.
EA and Zynga are suing each other. Well, EA suing Zynga because
over the Ville, which is basically a rip-off of The Sims,
which is so much of a rip-off that people have been making videos on YouTube of like side-by-side comparisons. It's like frame by frame perfect. So they're in deep shit. But I thought EA owned Zynga.
Didn't they buy Zynga?
I thought they bought them.
Or maybe, was that Facebook?
Maybe they bought shares in them. I don't know.
Yeah, because I thought, isn't Zynga owned by Facebook? Now, these are questions to be answered.
I don't
know. We'll take the show break, we'll look up those answers, and then we'll come back. And if EA, in fact, does own Zynga, this is the most ridiculous lawsuit.
I'm going to sue myself.
All right. We're back. Going to the break now. When we come back, tackle community mailbag, and then we'll get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Well, as an exalted druid, it would be a bit surprising for a torn like me to play a lot.
I got lost in
are back from the break. What a long break that was.
That was
kind of long this time.
That was a real break.
Yeah, I know. It was a real break. All right. Yeah, I know. It was all my fault. It is always my fault. Remember that. Remember that, kids.
Stay in school, kids.
Community mailbag this week. Question for show 180 was, given the laundry list of games coming out this holiday, what one game coming in 2012 are you going to pass on that you wish you didn't have to?
Ooh.
So whether it's, you know, maybe the finances are too tight, so you're not going to be able to afford it. Maybe just the timing isn't right. You know, one game you really want to play is coming out right alongside it, so you're going to have to choose that game. Or maybe it's just there's so many games coming out, it's just too much, and this game, you're just going to have to wait. So what game is it for you, Mr. Matthew? What game are you going to pass on this holiday?
You just changed the question on me a little bit, which kind of blows me up, because I was going to say Black Ops 2, because that's kind of easy. I wasn't going to play that anyway. So what game is coming out that I would like to play, but I'm going to have to skip?
Yes.
I'm having to think about this for a minute.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Mike?
Hello.
What game are you thinking, you know what, I really would like to play this game, but I'm not going to give it a chance right now. Maybe down the road. Maybe you'll pick it up on a deal down the road, but you're going to pass on it this holiday.
Could be a number of things, Greg.
Okay.
Could be a number of things. Could be Borderlands 2.
Ooh.
Not because I don't... I like the game. I think the game's great. But I play Borderlands 2 with either my friend Marsh, who works away in London a lot, so he can't play games while he's in London.
Okay.
Or I'll play it with Ben. And Ben is currently in the army. He's on a driving course, and he doesn't have any access to the internet. Now, come September... he's going to Germany, and in Germany, he will have some internet access, so I'm not sure if he will be able to be on the Xbox and stuff. He says he might be, and he'll have internet, and he'll have his own room and all this. So if that happens, then I'll be playing Borderlands 2. The other one possibly could be Darksiders 2. I actually quite liked Darksiders 1.
I've got to ask something. Sorry to interrupt.
Go on.
What am I, chopped liver? I'll be getting Borderlands 2. You can play it with me.
Would you have
the
to understand?
The thing is, you'll be getting it on the PC, which is a dead platform.
Really closest friend.
See, I won't be getting it on the PC because my PC's not mad enough to handle it. So I'll be getting it on 360.
Ah, fair enough. It's like, okay, if I went out with you, Dan, to a restaurant and a nice meal, and I came back and my missus found out about it, she'd be like, huh, why didn't you take me? That's kind of what it is with Borderlands and my best friends. So they'll be like, "How? I thought that was our thing. Never mind. Fuck you then."
You could always make a new character and play with them.
Yes. Oh wow, this boss is so cool.
Yeah,
it's just what I like to kind of any co-op game, like the sniper game. I'm playing it with Marsh as well, so we always kind of wait for each other on sniper games. It's just what we do. Darksiders 2 as well. Darksiders 2 is another thing. Well, I played the first one. I really enjoyed the first one. I thought it was great. So I'm willing to give this next one a go. See what it's going to be like. But I don't know if I'll play it straight away. It's one of those. It can wait games, you know.
Alright. So... Borderlands 2, Darksiders 2, two games.
Possibly.
Even though we only asked for one.
Darksiders 2 is more likely, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Dan, what about you?
It's a tricky one. There's a few games coming out that I want to get, can't get, because I don't have the money.
So you're going to make a choice?
So, yeah, for some reason, I've been getting back into the Halo franchise, never really played much after the first Halo, played a bit of Halo 2. Halo 3 screwed up on my 360, and since I got used to 360, my disc is too scratched, so I've never really played that. Never played any of the subsequent games. So Halo 4, I'm not that too worried about missing. Although I do want to play it, I want to play all the others beforehand. So, that's not too much of a problem. The thing that I'm really going to miss getting, I think it's going to have to be Assassin's Creed 3. because I'm going to be getting Borderlands 2. It's, you know.
Damn, you won't be playing with Mike, of course, but you're going to get it.
Yeah, it's one of those games, actually. the first Borderlands, I enjoyed playing it with other people, but it worked really well as a single-player experience as well.
Never played Borderlands on my own, ever.
It's really good, single-player.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
Okay, you get better loot when you're playing multiplayer, but the bosses are...
So Halo, really, I've never played Halo on my own, thinking about it.
See, I've only played Halo on my own.
Yeah, I always play it co-op.
Black Ops 2, probably won't be buying that because a friend of mine probably buy it for my birthday, and we've got this tradition. He buys the game, comes around here, I put him up two nights, we play through the game. All the Call of Duty games. Okay. Saves me buying them, giving EA money. Well, not EA, Activision.
One of them.
So yeah, so he buys it for you, so technically you don't give Activision money, but they still get their money.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright.
But I get
whatever helps
gaming.
You sleep, Dan.
I get
whatever
gaming.
Helps you sleep.
Just like I didn't buy Dead Island.
There you go. Alright. Mr. Matthew, are you ready with your game or do you want me to step in?
No, I think the one for me is going to end up being Assassin's Creed 3. I think I'm going to push that one off till the spring. I have a feeling between Borderlands 2 and the new XCOM game that's going to be my gaming life for the fall.
Yeah, Chris, okay. I don't know about you, but for me, Assassin's Creed's never been about the multiplayer, so that can just sit on the wayside.
I really did enjoy the multiplayer on Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for a little while, but then everybody kind of stopped playing it. And I went into random lobbies. This is going to sound like a whine, and I can't help it, but people weren't playing the game right. and what I mean by that is, you know, the point is you're supposed to sneak around and hide and everything, but it didn't take long for people to figure out that if you didn't want to get killed, all you had to do was run across the rooftops. And so everybody was just running around the rooftops. And like,
but if you want to get spotted easily, you run across the rooftops.
Right, but you run across the rooftops, nobody can kill you, and so it just becomes a game of chasing your target and I don't know. I didn't care for that style.
Cat and mouse.
Not even cat and mouse. More like tech.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, I didn't like that because it wasn't really the way the game was designed. Like whenever we had groups get together of the G4TE people, that was a lot of fun. But with randoms, it was no fun.
Okay. No, that's totally valid.
So anyway, yeah, Assassin's Creed 3 I think is going to be the one that I would like to try, but I'm going to have to wait.
Okay. I think for me, I mean, there's a couple easy answers I could throw out there. Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't really care about Resident Evil 6, so I'm not going to put it on my list as something I really want to play.
No.
Black Ops 2 was originally going to be my choice up until today. I saw the multiplayer trailer they released today for it, and if you haven't gotten a chance to see it, go look for it. It's on the tubes now. It looks really good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. A lot of new gadgetry to use, and it definitely, I mean, it has some of that Call of Duty kind of, you know, standard feel, but it also had this fresh kind of feel to it, so I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy Black Ops 2, and I might just end up picking it up. So it's not going to be on my list of I'm going to pass on it for the holiday. I think the one that I'm going to pass on for this holiday is Dishonored.
Wow.
I want to play it. I'm pretty excited for it. But I'm not getting this huge sense of I need to play it right away.
Everybody will be talking about that game, though.
I know.
Which I think will sway you.
It could, but right now that's Dishonored is on the outside looking in. So, but we had other people chiming in and talking about this. I mean, you know, we are not the center of the universe. We try to be, but we're not. So first off, we'll jump over to the Gate community, and Steve Amatic chimed in. He said, all of these games I'd love to support, just too crowded. Dishonored, Darksiders 2, and Sleeping Dogs. These are passes until uber cheap.
I can't wait for
Assassin's
Sleeping
Creed
Dogs.
3.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. Assassin's Creed 3 and Call of Duty Black Ops 2 are on his passes until uber cheap. He says, one may sneak in if some of the games I will be purchasing prove to be disappointing, but otherwise it'll be bargain bin shopping in the spring or summer of next year. Let's see, we had Andy93285. He said, I think the game that I'd normally purchase day one that I'll not bother with this year is Forza Horizon. Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of there with him on this.
Hmm.
And his reasoning is exactly for my the same reasoning for me. He says, I just think that the combination of Forza and Open Road just doesn't mesh for me. Open Road games to me have to have some sort of arcade element for me to enjoy them, hence why Need for Speed Most Wanted is more of a pickup for me. And I kind of agree with him. Need for Speed Most Wanted definitely more on my radar scope than Forza Horizon. He says, I've been saving the pennies for the early part of 2013 when there is a ton of games that I want day one. Major Chavez chimed in, Borderlands 2. I still need to get around to the first one, but the little I did play was amazing. Metric Pizza said, I think I have to bargain bin skip most games this season. I think Black Ops 2, unless my arm is twisted, Dishonored, and Sleeping Dogs, same as Steve-O-Matic. I know this is not the question, but my must-buy games, are Assassin's Creed 3 and Borderlands 2. He said, side note, does Parsnip sound like Moss from IT Crowd to anyone else? I love listening to his sound. There you go. Some tough choices there. Parsnip then chimed in to the boards. It says, Need for Speed, considering I have to play them all and only finished one of them. Plus, it's the remake of the one I happened to finish. Good old Gamefly. So, yeah, Need for Speed is the one he is going to leave off the list. And that does it for Gate. What about Lag, Mr. Matthew? What do they have to say?
Let's see. Sooner Proud says he's going to skip the Care Bears versus Teletubbies Mortal Kombat.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
Probably wise.
I think that's probably very wise.
Buttoned RC says unless it comes out real cheap, the title will probably be Skyrim. A little bit late. Between Borderlands 2 and XCOM coming out and lots of other stuff coming down for work, I just won't have time to fire up Skyrim. And then GamerGirl27 says, I don't think I have one. I did the bulk of my game shopping already. Hello, pile of shame. And there isn't many coming out that I want. Borderlands 2 and Darksiders 2 being the only ones I can think of at present. Borderlands 2 is pre-ordered and Darksiders 2 I'll rent through Gamefly. And that's what the lag people have to say.
Okay. Mike, what about the tweets? We did have one response.
We got one tweet. And it's from Johnny Fartpants. Great name. He said Dishonored is going to be his game. That he's going to be there. I'm not too sure about it, so doesn't really know. He's going to miss it. And he's going to let us be the guinea pigs. So he's going to hear the opinions of everybody else. And he finishes off by saying, too many games.
Yeah, there are quite a few. And it doesn't get any easier after the December break. That's the tough part.
Yeah, because the early 2013
is packed.
Is fucked. So.
All right. Well,
enjoy
we
the lull while we can. We're in it now.
Yes. Yeah, enjoy it. Although, I don't enjoy this time of year.
I do.
I don't know why.
Because you can... Well, people like new and fresh things, don't they? I think they...
Yeah, I do. I like new shiny.
Yeah, and I think that's normal, but I like it because it just means I get to catch up. Because I also finished like another game this week, but I didn't talk about... But I talked about on the other stupid podcast, that other one. Which is Binary Domain. So, like, you know, it just gives me a chance to, you know...
Big bow!
Yeah, it just gives me a chance to really, like, finish up on some of these games. Which is nice.
Are you happy you finished that one?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great game. No. But yeah, you know, I wanted to get it out of the way. It wasn't too bad. It was fun. But I enjoy the lull. I like it because it just gives you a bit of breathing space.
Okay. Well, speaking of lulls, we did have one email sent to us. And I believe, Dan, you're going to handle that?
Yeah,
it's a gaming fact.
Yeah, it comes from good old Parsec Mose. And he says, did you know the human race has collectively spent over 200,000 years playing Angry Birds? Roughly the same amount of time that modern humans have existed. And no, I didn't. And that is really, really quite sad that you knew that. it's also really quite sad that the human race has spent that amount of time playing Angry Birds, which is kind of 10-pin bowling with knobs on, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing worse than a woman scorned or an angry bird, I guess.
Ah, that's pretty good. Well, don't know. It's not like you to do jokes.
No, I don't.
In Greg, parts of England, it's exactly the same thing.
Ta-da.
I see that you put voicemails here, Greg. Does that mean we actually have one?
No, we don't.
I got excited.
That's just a standard tagline in our notes there, Mr. Matthew. I keep it there. Just on the off chance we have something, I will put a yay next to it.
I'm gonna put a little note next to myself next year to remind myself.
Next year, when we probably will have one a year. All right. So next week's question, hopefully we'll maybe get a little more responses to this one. What gaming franchise have you played? And when I say gaming franchise, the barometer is going to be it has to have at least three games in the franchise to be considered a gaming franchise for this question.
Wow.
So what game franchise have you played that you would like to see killed off?
I've listed off a few for us, Greg. Yeah. Maybe you can put that in the question in the forums or something to help people
along.
Sure.
Yeah, but so, I mean, you know, Mike, why don't you list through just maybe like five or so just to give people an idea of games that would kind of meet this standard.
So, for example, Call of Duty would be one. Grand Theft Auto, that's another one.
FIFA.
Tony Hawk, FIFA. Worms, just listing off some random ones. The Elder Scrolls, I don't think anyone's going to get rid of that one, to be honest. Things like that.
Right. So, but again, the caveat to this, and I really want to make this clear for the listeners, you have to have played it. So it's easy for me to say, God, I want to kill off Pokemon. I've never played a Pokemon game in my life. But
I have.
I can't kill off Pokemon. Right, but I can't list that. I haven't played it. So I need to go into my catalog and say, okay, what game have I played? You know, maybe it's Madden. Maybe I'd like to see Madden killed off. That would be sacrilege, being an American. But, you know, might be Madden. You never know.
I think they get it,
Greg. Completed the games.
Yeah. I know. They're actually much smarter than I give them credit for. All right. It's time for our community spotlight. But Parsnip sent me a message saying because his notebook decided it did not want to cooperate, there is no community spotlight this week.
Ah, shucks.
Means we're just going to go right into playdates. Chris.
Yes. We do have things going down. So Minecraft is going down. Apparently the servers are going down, but they're coming back up. And a shout out to Ordy. He's doing some improvements in the Minecraft world. And someone else is doing like a mobility enhancement project. They're creating like a highway system or something. Because bypasses must be built. Anyway, that's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Be there! And I'm sure the veteran gamers are going to do something. Don't forget.
It's on there. It's listed on there.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No.
Might be called Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
That's what
at
I can
6 p.m. At 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time. And by the way, speaking of which, little fact that I just learned last night watching the Olympics, that the old Greenwich Mean Time is like the starting point for the time zones.
Thank you. No idea. Yeah, because Greenwich Mean Time is zero here, and it's plus so and so for there and there.
Yeah. Did not know that.
We're awesome.
No, you're still Gross Mountain Time, but still.
It's also because, known well, as...
when we came up with time zones, you were fucking everywhere. anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. it's also known as Zulu Time for people in the armed forces.
That's
that sounds much more exciting.
Military parlance as well as airlines use Zulu Time.
Yeah.
All right, I apologize. So, Mike, I'm really dumb. So you got to put your play date on a separate line or put it in bold.
Okay. No problem.
Make it easy for me. So the veteran gamers are going to play Mass Effect 3 at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Sunday.
Or Gross Mountain Time.
Or Zulu Time.
Whoever is very impatiently reminding me, yes, I was going to mention the Twitter contest. This is a pretty slick contest. All you got to do is finish a game, any game, and take a picture with your cellular phone or your actual camera of your own face near television with the ending screen or credits or some other thing indicating completion on the screen. And tweet it to at G4TE, right?
Yep, at G4TE.com, and that's all spelled out.
Spell the dot, yes.
Yes, spell the dot.
.com. No spaces, all lowercase. Yes, that's it. Professional grade podcasting right here.
Nothing but the best.
Welcome to Fried Pie. You ever had Fried Pie? Delicious. New member of Fried Pie, and happy birthday to X-Ranger 77 and Rafinch.
Happy birthday.
1983. Rafinch.
Rafinch.
That's such a cool name, Rafinch. I think it's probably less French than I said it, but whatever.
Rafinch lives about 10 minutes away from where I am.
Oh, so he's English. Yeah, he's probably really mad at me saying his name with a French accent. if you're mad about me saying your English name with a French accent, you can email us at ocpodcast@gmail.com to complain about it, or put it up on the Twitter sphere @OC_podcast, or call us and yell at us about it at 626-506-2763. That's 626-50-OC-POD. Or even worse, you could go on the iTunes and the now Xbox Live music player and leave a review about how angry you are at me pronouncing your English name with a French accent, and we'll talk about that.
You stupid American!
Stupid American! Come back and I'll talk in your general direction or something like that. Yeah, awesome. Shout-outs this week. I'm going to shout-out Dan because he's here. And,
Thank you very much.
And Rich because he's not. And I'm going to shout-out Shinyverse and Hot Chutney for joining me for some Mass Effect 3 Mayhem last Tuesday when I was feeling lonely because everybody else was playing Battlefield and I didn't have my copy with me. Mike.
Yo. I'm going to shout-out Orty. Because he's doing some... Me and him are making a theme park in Minecraft. Which is... He's done a lot more work to it than I have, I'll admit. But I'm working on some stuff. Working on a ride called The Sink. The Sinkhole. Or The Sink. I don't know which one I'm going to call it. So, yeah. Working on a theme park. Who else am I going to share out? I could share out Dan.
I'm not going to ride on your log flume.
many people have. Many people have. I'll shout out Great Britain, of course, for the Olympics. Well done, Britain. You're doing okay. 20 gold medals now, which is more than we did in Beijing.
You guys are on fire. I would like to point that out. On fire.
Yeah.
You're doing well for a small country.
Yeah. I think, we're the number one for, population... per gold medal, kind of, obviously China and America. There's more people there. So
I heard the same, broadcast where the drunk Englishman was saying the same thing on the side of the hill looking over at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
So if you take a population.
Yeah, it's true, though.
That is Scottish.
Right? You look at the map, Greg. Look at how big England, Britain is, then America or China. And we're quite small, so we've done all right.
No, it's been great. I'm not saying you haven't done great.
I'm saying we're the first proper country in the table.
Oh.
I tell you what, that Jessica Ennis, well, she's just fantastic. So I'll share her because she's just great. Anyway, Dan, off you go.
Well, it's not really a shout out. It's more of a plea to all of the listeners. That's this year's Extra Life. We need your help. All of us, guys here on this show and, Iron Hammers, everyone part of the VG Hub team, we need you to help us raise money to help sick children. And you can do that by visiting extra-life patreon.com/team/VGHubTeam2012. You can pick your favorite podcaster out of a lot of us and, you know, just donate some money. It's for a good cause. I, for example, I'm doing two weekends. The first weekend I'll be playing, doing the Le Mans 24 Hour in Race Driver Grid. And the second weekend I'm going for the world record of continuous snuggle truck playing.
Wow.
I'm trying to do 24 hours of snuggle truck non-stop. I obviously will have to stop for bathroom breaks and intake of food.
Empty bottles, Dan. Empty bottles, empty bottles.
Well, I'm planning on having a webcam, so I don't want to see people seeing.
Oh my god!
I must be allowed toilet breaks, at least.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so if any of you feel the need to, well, if any of you would like to donate some money to help sick children, then that's the place to go. And I'm sure the link will be in the notes on the website.
Well, now there's pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to copy that link that I put into the document and paste it on the website.
Yeah, I think we can manage that. Dan, I want to shout you out for now, one, making me look like just a jerk. Because my shout-out was not nearly as momentous and awesome as your shout-out.
Dave wasn't a shout-out, don't worry.
Well, still, that's a good thing. Extra Life. No, we would definitely agree with you. Give money, even if you don't want to, give it anyway. It's the right thing to do. So, yeah, Dan, thank you for coming on the show. Very much appreciated. I know you have a lot on your plate as is, so having you come onto the show was unexpected and awesome, all in the same breath.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for shout out to Cybernaut and M. Brashler. Those are my other two pals from the Gate community that were knocking around in Ghost Recon after Mike left us. Just abandoned us.
Yeah,
Mike.
That's what I do.
I know, it is. Shout out to the Signed In and Xbox 360 podcast. If you guys ever are in the want of something that's a pretty good synopsis of Xbox 360 centric content, it is a good podcast to listen to. It's called Signed In and Xbox 360 podcast, and they cover the range. So indie games, arcade games, retail games, and they're pretty good. Yeah, this other little podcast that you could also listen to if you want to. It's called The Gamesman. I'm sure Dan's heard of it. Yeah, it's another good podcast. I mean, there's all kinds of good podcasts, but, you know, you'll hear that at the end of the show.
Probably
anyway.
There was like a website that linked them all together.
I know, something like VG Hub or something.
Wow. It'd
be crazy. I think I've run out of steam.
Yeah.
I think it's officially the end of the show.
Done.
So... goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Us PC gamers never run out of steam.
So you're the house with the rosebush?
That's me.
By a T-junction.
Yeah, by Mount Rose, yeah.
Yeah. You guys need to do a little roof work.
I think we have.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, that flat roof looks messy.
Yeah, it looks like it's being worked on.
That's your been porch. Done.
Fuck off. That's been done. that's been fixed, but like the roof, the actual roof on top, that needs to get sorted.
It looks like the world's biggest seagull is shattering your roof.
It does, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter what font it's in.
Just Comic Sans. Where are you, 12?
Can you read it? Can you read it?
Yes, I am 12.
Okay.
Mentally, we're all 12.
What in the hell? Really, Mike?
What?
You're just naming off gaming franchises.
No, they're not mine. I'm just getting people to look at those just to give them a bit of help.
Okay.
I was being helpful.
You are being helpful.
Jesus Christ!
Is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is that too early to start drinking? Because I'm thinking I need a cocktail to get through this podcast.
No, if you've got nothing else to do for the rest of the day, you might as well have a drink. I swear that's some music from Mass Effect 1.
I was also sitting next to somebody who didn't give a shit. I was like, that's the music from Mass Effect! And Tara was just like,
definitely.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah, he was
well
like,
done.
Oh, is it? Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Brilliant.
Like, that's really cool!
It's recognition that what I do is cool! Fuck off. Should probably explain to Dan that we need to be silent here.
I think he's kind of figured that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, thanks. The whole no one talking kind of made me figure that out.
Yeah.
Pattern recognition, situational awareness. We're not used to that on the show, Dan, so you're gonna have to slow it down a little bit, be a little dumber.
I'm a consummate playing in professional for podcasts.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk
yeah.
about
too
RPGs.
Many, some people say.
Come on now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.